Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Hormonally Speaking. We are just sliding into the Thanksgiving holiday here in the US. For those of you listening, happy holidays. I hope that you are getting ready to really enjoy maybe some turkey, maybe something vegetarian in its place, along with family, friends, people through your church or through some other group you're involved with, whoever you're spending time with. I hope that it is good, you are warm, and that you have some wonderful, wonderful food. Don't overdo the sugar, though. You know, I'm here to remind you. I'm actually just about to go into baking a keto cake with homemade raspberry frosting. And I'm using monk fruit and erythritol to sweeten that. So we'll see. Could go either way. That's how these things work, right? Anyways, I just wanted to hop on here really quick before today's episode to let you know that a big thing is happening starting Friday, which is, I don't even know what the date is. It's the day after Thanksgiving. And we are basically doing a big offer, and I want you to be on the lookout for that. If you're on my email list, you will get it Friday morning. If not, check out my website. But basically, if you are ready to take perimenopause by the you know what and make it work for you instead of against you, we are doing another round of Perimenopause Like a Boss starting in February. This one is going to be a longer session because we're diving deeper. We listened to what previous participants had to say, what they needed some more information about, and we just set this up to be even more in-depth and more helpful than it has ever before. We're super excited to run this program. It gets better and better every time because of the feedback that we get from each participant. So if you want to be a part of that, you're going to be able to save $100 off. This is for this weekend only. It will definitely never find a discount of that amount again, probably ever during this program. It really hopefully will make it, you know, doable for those of you that are interested in participating and really, like I said, getting a chance to know your body and make friends with it during this time of perimenopause and know how to treat it in the way that it needs to be treated. We go over food, lifestyle, supplements, all the things that you need in order to get your hormones in place to work for you. So anyways, again, $100 off will never ever be that cheap again. So grab a spot this weekend for $100 off. FYI, that discount code will be new you, but also you will get that information sent to you if you're on my email list. If you're not, you should totally get on it because that's the best way to keep up with things. What else? If you didn't hear the last episode, we are going to be going on hiatus for a little while in the new year because I started a fabulous new job with Microbiome Labs as their BiomeFX rep for the Southeast. And I'm having so much fun already at this job. It's a great group of people there, and we're just, you know, doing such good work in the world. I'm excited to be a part of a company that does this kind of amazing, life-changing work in the world. So more on that, you know, as time goes on, I'll share with you, but I get to learn so many good things while I'm there too, even more about the gut, you know, even more about how the gut is connected to everything, including our hormones. So we will be on hiatus for a little while in the new year as I'm sort of figuring out where and when I can fit this podcast in, because I know there's a ton of podcasts out there and people think that, oh, just make a podcast, no big deal. It takes a lot of time to make a podcast and energy and all those things. And so, you know, I just have to really figure out what that looks like for me, because just as important as me telling you that you need to set your boundaries and not overcommit in your life, I also need to do the same. That's super, super important for our overall health as women, but particularly in perimenopause. So more on what things are going to look like next year soon, but we are going to have episodes from here on out to the end of the year. So if you haven't subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. Plus, even when we're on hiatus, you can go back and listen to old episodes. There's lots of good ones. Okay, enough on all of that. Today's episode is one of my favorites in a while because I just absolutely love this guest, Dr. Heather Stone's, just personality and the way that she explains everything, I think is so helpful and useful if you don't know much about the thyroid, and if you don't know much about thyroid autoimmunity, and if you don't know much about how the thyroid and the hormones are connected. We go into all of that. So buckle up, buttercup. I took that from another podcast. I'm going to go ahead and admit, but anyways, you should still buckle up, buttercup, and get ready to dive into this week's episode of Hormonally Speaking. Let's do it. Hey there, and welcome to Hormonally Speaking. I'm your host, Christine Garvin, a functional health coach. Each week, I speak with an incredible guest expert on all things women's hormones. We're here to empower you to take back control of your body, health, and well-being, and to learn about the latest in research and solutions when it comes to getting your hormones happy. No part of this podcast should be construed as medical advice, and we always recommend working with a professional practitioner to figure out what's best for your body. Now let's dive in with today's guest. Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Hormonally Speaking. I am really, really happy and excited to talk about today's topic because I have had my own thyroid issues over the years that really haven't gotten a lot of help, honestly, from sort of allopathic traditional MDs, and have had to go elsewhere to get support on that. And I feel lucky because I've kind of known that I have thyroid issues and even subclinical hypothyroidism, but most women don't realize that they are having thyroid issues. Or if they do, they really struggle to find a good doctor to help. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to break down what thyroid issues are all about on today's episode with my guest, Dr. Heather Stone, who is one of the top functional medicine practitioners in the world. She has over 20 years of clinical experience in private practice. During that time, she has successfully helped thousands of women overcome the symptoms of hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. Her thyroid transformation blueprint has been used by hundreds of doctors and thus has helped countless women return to happy, healthy, and lean. Her mission is to change the face of healthcare through her private practice, books, masterclasses, webinars, education programs, and retreats on her ranch in Texas. Welcome, Dr. Stone.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Yes. And before we dive in, I just want to say I love all of the different ways that you are supporting people. You know, I think it's so important, and especially retreats are a thing that I feel like, you know, we're just able to kind of start doing again after not being able to do them for a few years, and just the excitement of getting back into connecting face to face and how that can help healing so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And the retreats have been a lot of fun. And I think it's been pretty eye-opening for me how much we have been missing that connection to each other. And, you know, retreats are an amazing space to connect with like-minded people who are on the same page with you and really connect in a different way. So it's been a great adventure.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely want to hear more about that towards the end. We can chat about that. But let's dive into what we want to talk about today, which is thyroid health. And as I was mentioning, you know, so many women really struggle with thyroid issues. So I want to talk about that first. And then finding the help that they need, even if they do know that they have thyroid issues. So can we just dive into those two areas first?
Yeah, I think there's so many women, millions actually, who have issues with the thyroid. And I think they come in several categories. One is the lady who has every single symptom of low thyroid in the book. And every time she goes and gets her thyroid checked, because, you know, she's been checking Dr. Google for a while, and she knows she has thyroid problems. And every time she gets her labs done, they keep saying, well, you know, everything looks normal. And so then it can just be so frustrating because there is nowhere to go there. Mm-hmm. And then the other ladies who've been diagnosed with low thyroid, and they get given, they take thyroid medication or thyroid replacement hormone, and their TSH looks good or their thyroid labs look good, but then they still have every other symptom, and then they continue to get medicated for every other symptom that they're struggling with, and they really never get this whole thyroid issue resolved, and they get told, well, it's just your age, or you're just going through menopause, or, you know, this is just what happens when you have low thyroid, get used to it. And it creates a lot of helplessness But it also has really taught us to start advocating for ourselves and continue to research and push forward, which has been exciting to see over the years, the shift in how we are like not necessarily taking no for an answer, meaning like everything's fine, just deal with it. Like that's not a good answer for most of these days.
Not cutting it anymore.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing. We're living, 40 plus years past menopause, and we don't want to feel like crap that entire time, essentially.
Exactly. And there is really no need for that. And I think the more we know and the more that we start working in a functional space and not necessarily just in a space where we are diagnosing a disease and giving a medication, but really understanding that the reason we have symptoms is because we have an underlying imbalance and the body's just trying to communicate with us that something is not quite right. And so no longer do we have to accept, well, it's just your age, deal with it. We can say, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it. I think that there's something else going on. And the body's a self-healing body, right? A being. It knows how to heal, but a lot of times you just have to remove the interference that the body is struggling with or the toxic load that we're dealing with in order for you to resolve these symptoms long term. And you know, I'm from the perspective that your quality of life and your life should burn like the flame of a candle all the way through, and it should go out when it's your time to go out. We don't have to live with these chronic degenerative diseases and a life that continually degrades over time.
Yes, I love that. So important for us to hear that message again and again because it's very different than the sort of mainstream, medical model and just idea, I guess, culturally. And I think that's starting to shift, as you were saying. So let's talk about what some of the underlying issues are to make the thyroid go off. And I imagine we're mostly going to be discussing low thyroid function, right? Versus the other end of the spectrum, which is like the hyperthyroidism. I think most women deal more with that hypothyroid state. So let's talk about that first.
Well, I think it's important to understand that both mechanisms, for the most part, when we're dealing with hypo and hyper, are same, even though your symptoms in the labs look totally different, right? So we'll start with hypo because hypo, the research many years ago was really suggesting that about 90% of us that had hypothyroid actually had an underlying autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. Now research is really showing about 95, upwards of 98% of us actually have this underlying autoimmune condition, sometimes even if the antibodies on the labs are negative. So the
Oh,
chances
interesting.
are really great that if you do have hypo or low thyroid, you're dealing with an underlying autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. The other end of the spectrum is you have hyperthyroid, and almost always, not always, but almost always, it's Graves' disease, which again is an underlying autoimmune condition. So you have to kind of broaden your perspective and your focus and not just focus on that little gland in your throat, but to understand if you have an underlying autoimmune condition, which is making the thyroid either under or over function, you have to get the immune system stabilized in order to stabilize the thyroid. And when you do that, you start addressing all the underlying root causes of why you have that laundry list of symptoms that we so easily relate to low thyroid.
Interesting. So that's really fascinating about it not always showing up as, with the antibodies, right? Because I, as I mentioned, have, kind of dealt with that subclinical hypothyroidism for a long time, and I've never tested, even moderately like close to lab range with my antibodies. So I just assume, oh, I don't have Hashimoto's, but you're saying that I possibly could actually have Hashimoto's, which would make sense to me. I'm kind of surprised I haven't ever tested high with
And
them.
a lot of women that I see, they're like, Dr. Heather, I swear I must have Hashimoto's. Like my presentation is exactly like Dr. Google says. like, you know, you still could have Hashimoto's. It depends on what your immune system is doing at the moment. It depends on what triggers you're dealing with at the moment, because those antibodies fluctuate minute to minute. This is the thing, is that we don't necessarily have to get caught up in the actual diagnosis, because when you look at, okay, so let's assume, even though the antibodies aren't high, let's assume we have Hashimoto's. Well, what do you do for that? Well, you look at all the different triggers that might impact the immune system, and I'll just go through them really quickly. It's
Perfect.
insulin surges and adrenal dysfunction, cortisol surges or a dysregulation in your circadian rhythm. It's estrogen and testosterone surges. It's underlying toxins like heavy metals or mycotoxins, which are mold toxins. There's a lot of biotoxins, not just mold toxins, but it could be any of the biotoxins. It can be food sensitivities and underlying infections and leaky gut, and all of those things are triggers to the immune system. So we don't have to necessarily get hung up on, do I have this label of Hashimoto's or even low thyroid for that matter? We've got to figure out what are the underlying triggers that are impacting the immune system. And when you do that, then you, first of all, you have to customize care so that you're addressing each person's individual underlying imbalances. Then you start addressing the causes for why you're having those symptoms. And I think it gets so confusing, because if you look at the symptoms for low thyroid, they're very similar to blood sugar dysregulation. It's very similar to adrenal dysfunction. It's very similar to mycotoxin issues. And so it's like we have to just take the labels off and say, okay, dealing with these symptoms, what's causing these symptoms, and continue to dig as deep as we possibly can so that we create balance in the body. And then the symptoms have no purpose anymore, right? They're re the body's not saying to you, hey, I got this major issue that needs to be resolved.
And I think that's such an important point that I understand in some instances, labeling helps people because it says, okay, finally I have an answer for how I've been feeling. But at the same time, as you so beautifully put together, it doesn't really matter because all of these things that are happening sort of in that physical response have the same underlying issues. I mean, there it's individual of what is dealing your system is dealing with, but there's these root causes that are the same essentially for all of them. And so it's figuring out for that individual, well, what is your sort of constellation of different things going on that we need to work with?
Yeah, 100%. And I would say this, it's like we don't want things to be wrong with us on one hand, but on the other hand, we need some kind of understanding and explanation for how we've been feeling. And I think so many of us, we have these symptoms and we keep getting told that nothing's wrong with you. And so then we get looked at like we're a hypochondriac, and then our spouses don't understand because the doctors are saying nothing's going on, or, you know, your thyroid is fine now. You have low thyroid, you're on thyroid meds and everything looks fine. And there is no other disease that they can diagnose, so that you kind of just get brushed off, or they start giving you medication like anti-anxiety, antidepressants, sleeping pills, and the list keeps going on and on. But having the label or the name of why you're dealing with something on some level is comforting or reassuring that you're not crazy. But we do have to be careful not to get attached to the label or to start having the label become part of our identity, because first of all, it's just there to tell us why or give us an explanation. And then we should work to remove that label as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I love thinking about the point that you made because I see this in some of the people I work with and just different groups that I'm in, when particularly if women do not get that diagnosis and they're feeling horrible and then their family starts to not believe them or just don't think it is as bad as they're saying it is, and how that can make things even worse. Right? How if they don't have any support and people believing in them, then things tend to get worse. So, this is why the work that you do is so important. And for people to really touch into, okay, there is something happening here and there's something that I can do about it. And hopefully other people can get on board in their life too, to support them in that process.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, our health is the most important thing that we have. And if we don't have our health, we really have nothing. And so when we're not feeling well, it impacts the relationships around us because we cannot show up at 100%.
Yes.
And with every patient that I accept into care, I require that their spouse be on that appointment with me because I want them to understand what their spouse is going through, where the underlying issues are coming from. There isn't an explanation for why they're dealing with what they're dealing with. And I need to know that they are on board. And I got to say, sometimes I get pushback like, Dr. Heather, I can make my own health decisions. And I'm like, I know you're capable of doing that.
Yeah.
There are other people that are impacting your daily life that need to be on board and need to support you. And I got to make sure that you're not going to be sabotaged. But almost always at the end of that visit, they're like, thank you so much for having him on this call because he really did not understand. They cannot have empathy because they've never been there.
Right.
And so if you don't put an explanation to why someone is having these symptoms, then it just creates an issue with the relationship. It cannot be as good as it possibly could be if they had understanding and support.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about what are some of the things that you end up doing with these patients that come to you, you know, sort of first step approach. Do you do lab work? Do you, you know, how just go into your approach?
Essentially, I take them through my thyroid transformation blueprint. All right. And so the first thing of that whole blueprint is that we have to have clear, defined goals and desires, because if we don't really know what we're trying to accomplish, or if we haven't communicated on what's possible that they could actually accomplish, it feels like we have no direction. Mm-hmm. Right. And your motivation to keep going and to actually get great results depends on what you're trying to do. So the number one is you have to have good goals. It has to be a constant pursuit of your goals so that you stay on track.
Yep.
Number two is you have to have comprehensive testing. Mm-hmm. And I think this is huge because most time when you go get your thyroid checked or you go to your doctor and you think, I have all these symptoms, could you check my thyroid? You're going to get a TSH.
Yeah. And that's it. If you're lucky, free T4, right? If you're lucky.
Right. They may do a TSH with a thyroid panel, which will give you a total T4, a T3 uptake, and an FTI. But really, all they're looking at is that TSH.
Yep.
And if it's low, they give you thyroid medication. If it's normal within the lab range, they're like, everything is fine. Even if it's like right on the lab range, low or high, everything is fine.
Right. And those lab ranges are wide for people that don't realize. They're very wide. Yeah. For TSH.
You know, I do work in Texas, Colorado, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that those lab ranges are just averages for that area.
Yeah.
And someone literally could have hypothyroid in Colorado, but normal in Texas. And you could have hypothyroid when you go to LabCorp, but not when you go to Quest. And so it's just bananas. And when people figure that out, they're like, how is this possible? But anyway, you want to really be very thorough. And like I was mentioning earlier, when someone comes to me, yes, I am measuring, you know, all of the thyroid markers. There's 12 total thyroid markers in a thyroid panel. However, I don't always do the marker that would diagnose Graves' disease because I'm usually working mostly with hypothyroid patients.
Mm-hmm.
But we do all of those markers in addition to looking at everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I was mentioning all the different triggers to the immune system. You have to really open your focus and not just look at the thyroid tissue, but do comprehensive testing to figure out where does the body have an underlying imbalance or toxin or infection?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do very, very thorough testing. And then the third pillar is a comprehensive analysis and diagnosis. And that's where we get into reading these labs, not just looking for a disease, which is where your markers would fall outside of the lab range, but really analyzing it from an optimal perspective. Like, where does a human being function optimally? Not just ruling out disease, but we can do better than that, right? We need to just survive. We can like thrive optimally. And so you have to know and understand how to analyze and diagnose the labs and put it all together. And then the next pillar, the fourth pillar, is customizing care. So you have to be able to take all of those labs after the analysis and figure out, all right, what are the highest priorities? What do we need to start on first? I always like to, think about, hitting the kingpin. Where are the highest priority things that kind of, when you address them, take care of all the little minor things instead of, walking out of my office with 500 supplements? What can we do to maximize the highest priority things so that the body starts to heal? And then the last pillar is that you need a coach and someone to help guide you along the path. So
Absolutely.
basically what we do for every person that comes through the program, and it's important to know that you have to customize care, like cookie cutter care. Some people are going to get better and other people are going to really struggle. But if you look at every individual person and you're customizing their treatment plan and retesting and recustomizing as they work through these issues, that's what really sets people up for success.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm assuming a gut test is a part of what you guys run. And
Absolutely.
then molds, I know mold has become such a major issue. I'm curious if you're seeing that being a big thing more and more.
Yeah. So we run not only comprehensive blood, we do saliva as well, which is measuring all the hormones, adrenal functions, circadian rhythm, all that stuff. And then we will do a stool test on everybody. So looking at underlying infections, looking at the microbiome, looking for your metabolic rate, like how well do you break down proteins and fats. And then almost everybody, we do a mycotox test. So from the beginning, we do a genetic test to see if you're clearing toxins out. Like, do you have a genetic predisposition where your immune system has a deficiency where it doesn't recognize the toxins as well and clear them out? And a lot of the interesting thing is about 30% of the population has this genetic issue with that we run the HLA DRDQ. So about 30% of the population cannot clear out biotoxins. But it's literally about 80% of my patient population, I get it positive almost every time, whether it's some form of just mold or is it a multi-susceptible where it's, they have issues with multiple different biotoxins. So I would say a large majority of my patient population, which is, I really only deal with low thyroid and autoimmune patients where we can't clear these molds out. And I think back to like 15 years ago where we didn't have access, we didn't know this
None of
stuff.
this. Yeah.
I think about the patients, those patients that just stick with you that you're like, what did I miss on that
Yeah.
patient? Like, why didn't they completely get better? I would say that we rarely see a patient fail, but there's those patients that you're like, they just didn't do as well as I thought that they should do. And
Right.
now I think back, I'm like, God, if I would have just known about this whole mycotoxin issue, I bet it would have cleared out so well. So now we just do that from the beginning. And it's been amazing to see how what high percentage of patients in our population are really dealing with these mycotoxin issues. And I find it to be one of the major causes of brain fog. And specifically as it relates to this, you'll have a hard time remembering words in the middle of sentences, a hard time focus with your focus and concentration, a hard time learning and retaining new information. The crazy thing that I've seen in the last couple of years is an uptick in my postmenopausal women who are now all of a sudden diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and they're using Ritalin. I'm like, wait a second. You got a mycotoxin. I don't think that this is what they're naming it. Right.
Right,
And a
right.
lot of times what a diagnosis is these days is just a naming of a symptom, like giving it a fancy name, but it's not really addressing a root cause or why somebody has this whole
No, yeah.
ADD or ADHD. It's just a fancy name that you can't focus.
Right.
When you start to really uncover that and you clear these toxins out, you know, 9 times out of 10 that actually goes away.
It's amazing. I know it's so incredible. And I love that genetic testing is becoming a more common thing too. I just learned recently about the, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, but Diodinase gene, DIO, and
DIA
that,
is how
yeah,
I say
the, okay.
it.
I said it right. How the DO2, it limits the conversion genetically from T4 to T3, right? And it's funny because when I did my genetic test, it kind of groups everything by most important, that kind of thing. So thyroid did not show up there. But after I learned about that, I went back to the test and I was like, oh, look who has a variation on her DO2, because I've always had my, free T4 has always been optimal. And then the free T3 is what I've struggled with. And I was like, aha, that's part of, it's not the whole thing, but that's part of the picture too, right? And understanding that, yeah.
And that brings up another, topic is that gets missed all the time, right? So your it was probably always normal because T4 feeds back to the pituitary. So your TSH is good, T4 is always good, but most of the time, traditionally speaking, they don't run T3. They don't run
Exactly.
total T3, and you
Yeah.
miss it every time.
Yep.
And here you are with technically low thyroid, but they're missing it because, you don't have a TSH issue. And
Yep.
so this underconversion issue is a huge deal, right? And it all involves liver function and
Yes.
detoxification
Yep.
and all of that stuff,
Yep.
as we get deeper. And I think it's important, and people are really starting to understand that glands don't work alone, that the body has to work all together. And our medical system has been so separate and separated. Like you go to an endocrinologist and a cardiologist and a hormone practitioner, like an OB/GYN or whatever. But the body doesn't work like that.
Right.
It might be easier for us to learn clinically because we can really focus on one aspect of the body, but then we start missing all the different connections that really make it better.
Yeah, and that's part of what I try and do with this podcast, right? I mean, obviously we're primarily focusing on the endocrine system, although we talk about gut health a ton too. But it's the thyroid, the adrenals, and the ovaries in, women. This is all, you can't work on one without working on the others. And so many women will come to me and they say, oh, I know my progesterone's low or my estrogen's high, or I need support on those. And I say, we really need to look at your adrenals and your thyroid almost first, right? Because they have such a major impact on the production of estrogen and progesterone and even testosterone and DHEA. And so many times taking care of gut, working on the adrenals, working on the thyroid, that's going to take care of, depending on where you are. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're late in perimenopause, you're not going to be producing the sex hormones. You can't beat your ovaries into submission. It just doesn't work, right? But 20s, 30s, early 40s to mid 40s, really honing in on these other areas is where I like to focus people first, because it really does impact everything. And particularly, I just wanted to bring up, since fibroids are something I've dealt with in my past, there's a pretty deep connection even in the literature about thyroid issues and fibroids. And considering how common fibroids are, most women aren't aware of that. 70 to 80% of women will have a fibroid by the time they're age 50. Circling in on the thyroid issue, I think, is so important. It's like thyroid, vitamin D, all of these, there's certain markers that are so important. So what do you see sort of in your practice, I guess, when we're talking about perimenopausal patients coming your way? And my guess is a lot of them have talked to their doctors. Maybe they're even on medication at that point, thyroid medication. But yeah, what's going on with them?
Well, I feel like it's a big trend in the anti-aging space that, the first thing they jump on is hormone replacement. And like hormone replacement is going to fix everything. Like when you have all these symptoms is because you have low testosterone or low estrogen or progesterone. But we are forgetting a lot of times to ask, well, okay, well, why do you have low estrogen or why do you have low testosterone and what's happening to it, depending on where your what your age is. So sometimes it can be low in the blood but high in the saliva because at the tissue level you're not clearing it out because your detoxification pathways aren't working well. But it is kind of trendy right now. The first thing that they do is add in hormones. And I see a lot of patients that come to me, and when we look blood versus saliva, they have a big buildup of all these hormones in their tissues. Other times, their hormones may be normal when they're on those hormone replacement therapy. But I'm always saying, okay, well, why did you need this in the first place? Let's go back, just like what you were saying. Let's look at your adrenals. Let's look at your liver. Let's look at your thyroid. Let's look at your blood sugar, because blood sugar plays a huge role in our hormones and hormone production. And so, for those ladies that their hormones look pretty good and they're on hormone replacement, I don't touch that. I just keep deeper and deeper to see if we can't resolve the issue. And for the ladies that are on it and their hormones are like out, they're not even measurable, they're so high in the tissues. I still am like, maybe we're not going to touch that right this second, but let's start working and see where we're at in like 60 days. Let's retest. And if we need to, start working with your practitioner to reduce those hormones, let's do it. Taking a bigger look at this hormone issue instead of it just being the cause of everything, I usually say, okay, well, when you got put on the hormones, did your any of your symptoms change? And they'll say, some of them may say, not at all. And others will say, oh my gosh, my sex drive went up to like a teenage boy and it was really annoying. And then they'll say, then it went away. Like, I don't know what happened to it. I'm like, oh gosh. Because then you start to worry about, hormone resistance, right? So same with all hormones, insulin resistance, you can have thyroid resistance if you're taking too much testosterone, all of those, all hormones you can develop a resistance to. And so then you're thinking, oh gosh, did they overload them with testosterone, trying to override the body's physiology, and now they're resistant. So
Especially those pellets. Sorry.
the pellets are difficult to work with, right? Because you can't adjust dosage. And now you're like, oh my God, your testosterone is technically higher than a teenage boy. And nothing we can do about that, but
You
keep
just gotta
working.
wait it out.
So, pellets are a challenge to work with unless you accidentally guess at exactly the right dose that somebody may need. I mean, otherwise it can be. And then I ask, well, have they been checking your labs? No, I just keep getting these pellets for like 6 years. I'm like, hey, I haven't checked your labs in 6 years. No,
It's an industry. I mean, it's interesting. I've seen these pop up even just in my area where their main focus is testosterone pellets. That's really what they do. They're not interested in testing estrogen levels. They're not interested in testing progesterone levels. They just go straight in and just keep on doing that. And I mean, there's so many reasons that drives me crazy, you know? So many reasons, but yeah, I tell people if you go to a place where they're just kind of pushing one form of replacement, of hormone replacement, and they're not testing all of your hormones, that is not a place that you want to go. You want to
I
find somewhere else.
agree. And you want to know how often are they going to recheck? Like, can we make sure that we're moving in the right direction and not just, testing once and then never testing again? I think that's a big fallacy. But again, I think that these ladies, the more knowledge we have, the more educated decisions that we can make. And so some of them go in not really understanding, but if we could understand that the body works as a whole and you have to check why maybe you might have the, we have to keep asking why, like get down to as low as we can possibly go to get an explanation for why, these hormones aren't where they should. I had a sweet patient of mine. She's like, Dr. Heather, my thyroid just broke.
You're like, I
Your
promise that didn't
thyroid
happen.
not break. She's like, it's broken. I'm like, Not broken, like it's
Yeah.
physically impossible to break
To
your
break it. Yeah,
thyroid.
yeah.
So let's watch our words that we're
Right,
telling our
right.
body.
Right. Absolutely.
Your thyroid just doesn't like go out or burn out or break, right? Neither do your adrenal glands or anything else. Like it's a gradual thing that kind of
Yes.
happens over time for the most part. I mean, I'm sure that you could have a viral infection or something like that that really triggered it. But you got to keep asking the question why and figure out, what's the underlying issue. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions that people have when we go through menopause is we think we have no hormones. Like I'm through menopause, I have zero hormones. And I think it's important to understand that as even postmenopausal, like if we're looking at salivary testing, which is the hormones at the tissue level, the free fraction hormones, a postmenopausal female for estrogen levels is 2 to 6. And a menstruating female can be anywhere from 3 to 15. So it's not like your hormones just drop off the map.
No,
Now,
I right.
if they can, and if
Yes.
they do, it's more of, an adrenal issue, a liver issue.
Right.
Like there's lots of other issues that we could work on while maybe supplementing with a little bit of hormone replacement. But ladies still have hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, as we make it through menopause, and we don't just all of a sudden have zero
Zero.
hormones.
Right. And that kind of goes to my next question, because our adrenals take over for that hormone production in menopause, right? So can you talk about how the adrenals impact the thyroid? And do you see adrenal dysregulation or dysfunction with most of your thyroid patients?
Yes,
Yeah.
I think I see adrenal dysfunction. Probably most Americans have
Yeah.
dysfunction
Yeah.
because of the world that we live in, right? Because we're always in a state of fight or flight. We're always in a state of, a tiger chasing us, and we can't
Yes.
keep doing that
Yeah.
forever. And the lifestyle that we've created makes it difficult for us to go into more of a parasympathetic where we rest, digest, and heal the body. And so not only is it like stress, like, our work stress or our kids stress, our relationship stress, but it's also stress that maybe we're not aware of, like the toxins in our environment stress, right? The toxins in our water and our food supply and our inability to detoxify, like all of
Yeah.
that is stress constantly on the
Yeah.
body
Yep.
that we weren't used to dealing with, many centuries or decades ago.
Right.
And so the stress load has continued to increase. So I think if we're not working to combat that, I would say that you probably have adrenal dysfunction.
Right.
Right. Like if you're not doing something to get rid of the toxins and make good food choices and work to balance your blood sugar and specifically working to get into a parasympathetic mode where you have meditation or getting good sleep, all of that stuff, you probably have adrenal dysfunction. And the adrenal glands essentially help you manage stress. Like that's what helps you from, the most basic survival level to balancing your blood sugar and helping with cortisol and helping. So your adrenal glands help you on every single level of the body.
Yeah.
And so I think that, in traditional medicine, very rarely do we see adrenal diagnosis,
Yeah.
right? Like I don't, I mean, I can maybe count on two hands where I've seen like an adrenal tumor
Right.
or, Addison's disease or Cushing's disease, something like that. That's not that common.
Right.
So it gets missed a lot of times in traditional medicine when we have dysfunction or underfunction of the adrenal gland itself. And so, and a lot of times when they're checking adrenal function, they'll just check like a cortisol level at a random time during the
Right.
day.
Like first thing in the morning, and that's it. You're like, not helpful.
They're like, oh, your adrenals are fine. I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, maybe not. No. So you do the full like circadian rhythm, right? The whole When are the adrenals producing cortisol? Do you, is your circadian rhythm regulated? You know, this tells us a lot of why we have energy levels issues throughout the day. Like if you have fatigue or if you have a slump during the day or you can't sleep at night, it gives us a lot of information. And you know, the adrenal glands have a direct impact on your blood sugar. As I was saying, cortisol and insulin are directly related. And I think it's important to understand that the thyroid regulates your metabolic rate, right? So it directly impacts your blood sugar. It directly impacts, and the thyroid is important because it's the only hormone in the whole body that has a receptor site on every single cell in your body. And so it's like you, the thyroid, that's why we have so many symptoms when we have low thyroid. It can span from anything, right? Like it related to any symptom. Now there's a common cluster of symptoms that we can relate to low thyroid, but when our thyroid is not functioning well, it literally affects us from head to toe. And so, you know, everything is related, related to everything.
Yeah, it's so incredible when we step back, and it also makes so much sense, right? Because I mean, the way that we evolved, you know, obviously everything was going to work together, and the foundations which you brought up today, especially blood sugar, you know, that is one of our biggest issues culturally, is high blood sugar, prediabetes, diabetes, insulin resistance, and it really is like, I mean, all the foundations are important, but you gotta get your blood sugar regulated in order for all of these other things to work better, right? So, can we speak just a little bit about blood sugar regulation?
Yes, I could talk for like a whole week on blood sugar. So I'll say this, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a weight issue, like you have an inability to lose weight or you're not at your ideal body weight or you're holding on to extra weight, it's almost guaranteed that you have a blood sugar issue. And I think one of the misconceptions is they'll be like, Dr. Heather, I had my A1C checked and my A1C is good. And I'm like, but your A1C was at a 5.6, like 5.7 is pre-diabetic. So like they're on, and it's not their fault that they think like that because their doctors are telling them that there's nothing wrong with your blood sugar, but you have to understand that it's on a continuum, right? And so even people need to understand that having low blood sugar is one of the first, you know, the first things that we're like, hey, you got a blood sugar problem because low blood sugar eventually leads to insulin resistance. And you know, the other thing that I've been seeing a lot of, because I'm getting better and better and we have more technology that allows us to analyze blood sugar from different aspects, is that you can have a completely normal A1C. Like I see people with a perfect A1C, 5.3, 5.2, and I'm like, okay, if we just looked at that, I would say you don't have a blood sugar problem. And if we looked at your fasting blood sugar, and I would say your fasting blood sugar looks pretty good, I can kind of check that off. But the better we get and the more technology we have, all that A1C is telling us is that your average blood sugar is good, but it doesn't take into consideration your blood sugar variability when you have big highs and lows and big swings. And you know, with all the access to information now on Instagram and TikTok, I'm not on TikTok. I think I'm on TikTok, but I don't want
Same,
TikTok.
same. Every few
I don't
months
know.
I like check, I go on there and then I get back off.
Yeah. But I think I hear there's a lot of great information on TikTok. Well, but you know, the trend now with biohacking and all this stuff is all this intermittent fasting. And I will see ladies who are like, Dr. Heather, you know, I only have like a 4 to 6 hour eating window and I haven't lost a pound and I'm still 40 to 50 pounds overweight. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And usually I'll have them put on a continuous glucose monitor and you'll see their numbers are like all over the place. And I had that personal experience myself. I was playing around with intermittent fasting and seeing like what I could do and see how my body would change. And I did my labs. I'm like, oh, my A1C is gonna be like perfect. It was a 5.6. I almost freaked out. I'm like,
And how long did you do the intermittent fasting before you tested?
Oh, I think I was doing it for 60 days, and intermittent fasting is easy for me and for most of us women because we've been dieting our whole lives. We're like, no, don't eat. Okay. That'll do.
I'm one of the weird ones. I can't.
You
I'm
can't do
like,
it.
I need my throughout the day. But anyways, yeah.
So I put on a continuous glucose monitor, and what I saw was that my blood sugar was pretty good all morning. When I was driving to work, it went into the 50s. I did not feel it. I could not.
Wow.
I was like
Interesting.
normal,
But it
happy,
went.
like driving to work all the way to 50.
That's
And
crazy.
then around 11 o'clock, if I did not eat at 11 o'clock, then my blood sugar would spike to 115, sometimes 120.
Wow.
Zero food,
Yeah.
right? I would
Yeah.
work out, but
Yep.
not crazy workout in the morning. I would, do zone two where my heart rate was pretty low, where I'd lift some weights. But I just found that incredible. So I said, all right, what I'm gonna do is I found my fasting window. Like I have to eat by 10. And then I can prevent that dip and then that big spike. And then it created more of stability. And then my A1C went back to a 5.3. But because we are, getting all of these amazing ideas off of Instagram and, even doctors are, a lot of people are saying that you need to intermittent fast without really understanding how what the metabolic flexibility is, what your body's ability to handle is, because not everybody is the same, and actually it can cause a lot more stress on the body than it does.
Absolutely. And, I see women a lot of times doing the coffee if they're doing the intermittent fasting, right? They're getting up and they're drinking their coffee and then not eating for 2 or 3 hours. And they wonder why they have this crazy dip in the afternoon, or they're just not feeling, or their hormones are whack,
Their cortisol is all over the place.
Exactly, and this belief that, I mean, I get it, different people, different things, but in general, I see caffeine and coffee in particular impact blood sugar and cortisol. It's definitely increasing your cortisol, and your blood sugar is going to go along with that. And so it's very fascinating because I do think you're right. A lot of women can get into that, like, oh, it's easy for me to just not eat until 11 or 12 because they're living off that high of the coffee in the morning or working out, those kinds of things. And I'm just like, oh, you're setting your body up for the day in a really bad way, and we just really want to be kind to our blood sugar. And so for me, it's like getting that protein in the morning, within that first hour is so key. And if you can, wait to have your coffee until after you get that. But
100%. And I think a lot of people forget that about coffee because, the studies that we read, you have to be careful who's doing the study and what objective they actually have, what they want the outcome to be to support what they're doing. But rarely do we see anybody coming out saying coffee and caffeine really affects your cortisol level and your blood sugar. And I think that that's a huge place where we can make improvements, but it's a big place where not a lot of people are talking about it.
And not a lot of people are interested in going down
No,
that
they are not. They definitely are not.
Oh man, I could ask you a million more questions. I love this conversation, but I know we got to wrap it up. So let people know how they can be in contact with you.
Yes, they can find me. I have quite a large Facebook group. It's called Happy, Healthy, and Lean, Women Overcoming Low Thyroid. So if they want to jump on Facebook, I do a Thyroid Thursday. Every single Thursday, I do a live episode there, and that's where I host all the master classes and everything like that.
Nice.
And then my book that is coming out, or it's out already,
It's
it's on
out.
Amazon. They
It's
can
official.
go to Amazon, and it's called The Thyroid Transformation Blueprint. And they'll just search that, it'll pop up.
Great. So we'll have those links in the show notes so people can get directly to both of those. And then, are you doing another retreat anytime soon? Is there any
I'm
plans?
not doing any retreats for the rest of the year, but I'm about to. This time of year gets weird with, like all the things going
All the
on and
things.
all the holidays. So, I'm about to release my retreat schedule for 2024. So that will
Great.
be coming out soon, and I will be posting it on The retreat website, which is Born to Heal Ranch and Retreat. So
Okay.
I'll post all of the dates there. And if you're interested, you can go to that website and kind of look around at what we all do during the retreats. Now, in the past, I've only done retreats for existing patients because it was more of an advanced retreat, like next level. But in 2024, I'm actually going to open it up to people who are just beginning their journey. So it's going to be really fun.
Perfect. That's amazing. And I know that we have a free gift for the listeners called the Thyroid Transformation Quick Start, which thank you for offering that.
So if they'll go to the thyroid transformation blueprint.com, then they will get the first two chapters of my book for free. They can download
Oh,
that.
very
And
cool.
then yeah, that's what they get.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you so much for that. Well, we'll have to have you back on because I definitely thought about 20 other things I'd love to talk to you about.
Talk for hours for
Yes, exactly. So, but we'll let everybody digest this information first. And I do believe it's so important, not only because I've dealt with my own thyroid issues, but I've seen so many clients have thyroid issues that to really grasp how important it is to work on thyroid health and how it helps every other part of your health. So thank you for the work that you do.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, I will see you next week.